Welcome to the Watershed Teaching Podcast. Watershed is the high school ministry of Perimeter Church in Johns Creek, Georgia. Perimeter Church is part of the Presbyterian Church in America. Watershed is a place where we hope high school students would connect, receive, and transform. We want to see students connect with God and others through healthy community, receive His truth through gospel-centered, grace-based teaching, and be transformed by the gospel to then go transform their world. Thank you for downloading this podcast. For more information, please visit us at www.perimeter.org/watershed.
Hey, what is up, Watershed? Welcome to part two of our Jonah series. A couple of years ago, when I was in middle school, I used to go to our public swimming pool in our hometown. The reason why I went there wasn't necessarily to swim, which was great. The reason I went there was because my uncle was the pool manager. He was like head lifeguard, head honcho kind of guy. And so I was able to like have free reign when I was there. I was able to get free food. I was able to go and dig around in the lost and found and take stuff for myself. It was a pretty sweet deal. What I really used to love is I would get goggles and a snorkel. I don't know if you guys call it that here, but what I used to do with some friends is we would put the stuff on and would go swim under the water and would go look for money. I don't know why, but I just was like, there's probably money down there because people get into the pool with money in their pockets. And so often we would find a ton of money on the bottom of the swimming pools. Why were you looking for money, Tegan? Great question. Because not only was there free food in the office, there was a concession stand that sold the greatest hot dogs you could ever eat. And they were only at this public swimming pool. So we would go and look around on the bottom of the pool floor to get money and go eat these delicious hot dogs. But not only that, there was also a 5 meter deep swimming pool. Now, it's about 30 something feet. It was fairly deep. And what was really cool was there was a diving board. So every now and again in the afternoon, the lifeguard would come and open up the diving board and we'd all get in the line and you'd have like hundreds of people like, yeah, it's time. We're going. And so you'd stand there and you'd jump into the pool. But here's what made diving off the board into the pool great. They would launch a bubble from the bottom of the pool that would slowly rise to the surface, and as it would rise to the surface, it would break the water tension. And so when you jumped into the water, it was like smooth. It was kind of weird, but it broke the tension of the water and you're able to jump into the water and not kind of get hurt, like especially if you belly flop, which is pretty much my specialty. You'd jump into the water and you wouldn't really feel the pain, and it was pretty great. But sometimes now and again, my friends and I, we would challenge each other. And the challenge was this: who could get to the bottom of the pool the quickest? And so what we would often do is some of us would dive into the pool and try to swim down as far as you could. There was a pipe that went down the side of the pool, and some of us would like pull ourselves down the pool and we'd like equalize and let water out so that we didn't blow our eardrums, which, by the way, I actually did blow my eardrum once. But I remember those moments of going down in the pool, light slowly started to fade away. The pressure got greater on your body. It got colder. It felt kind of miserable. And to be completely honest, it was kind of scary. It was kind of scary going deeper into that water. And so that is where we find ourselves actually in the story of Jonah today. He has disobeyed the Lord, he's been thrown overboard, and he has found himself right now in the ocean, in the water, cold, alone, surrounded by pressure, and that is where he is. He has turned his back on God, the God who created all things, and he says that is the God that he fears and worships. He has turned his back on a great and glorious rescue mission to a people who God wanted to call to repentance and offer salvation. And he also turned his back on life. He was okay with being thrown overboard. He declared that it was better for him to die than to live in a world where God would show kindness and mercy to his enemies. And so Jonah is deep in the water, cold, alone. And so the question that I want to throw to you today, Watershed, is this. Where is it that you find yourself right now? Are you living in obedience? Are you following the Lord? Are you spending time with the Lord? Are you enjoying His presence? Are you making right and wise decisions? Or maybe you feel like you're in the water. Maybe you feel like because of the decisions you've made, you've been thrown overboard and it's because of your own doing. What is the water you find yourself in today, and what got you there? The thing that I want to communicate to us today is that forgiveness is available to all. Enemies and disobedient sons and daughters alike have claim to this free given forgiveness. You see, the book of Jonah, what I think is very cool about the book of Jonah is that it's less about a prophet named Jonah, and it's more about the Jonah that dwells in each of us. If you think about it, as you read the book of Jonah, and I would encourage you to read it, it's only 4 chapters, but as you read the book of Jonah, put yourself in his shoes. See which character you most connect with in the story. Read the book of Jonah as a mirror that you're literally seeing yourself in. Because we all have different variations of this kind of Jonah in us. Some of us, we are living the Jonah life where we are rebelling and disobeying God. Maybe you're the Jonah who is not about what God is about right now. Maybe the Jonah inside of you has told you that the decisions that you are making are better than the decisions that God is calling you to make. And maybe you're the Jonah who has been invited into something incredible, but you've chosen the road most traveled. And you've followed the way of the world and you've turned your back on God. And right now you find yourself quite joyless and stuck. So I'm going to read from Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, and then through chapter 2. I'm just going to read the whole text. You'll see the text come on the screen, but I'm just going to read it for you. So this is verse 17 onwards. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The water closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up. You brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who paid regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. So here we are in the story of Jonah. Jonah was disobedient, and he was called to go and speak to the Assyrian people, whose capital was Nineveh. What you need to know about this time period is that the Assyrian Empire had risen to its peak of its glory. It was about conquering other nations and tearing down other peoples, and Israel had begun to experience this. Israel at this time in history was being captured by the Assyrians. They were being killed by the Assyrians. They were being taken off into exile by the Assyrians, and this is what Jonah had seen, and he was starting to notice this pull happening, which all led to the culmination in 722 BC. Again, this is historically accurate. In 722 BC, the Israel nation, the 10 tribes of the northern nations of Israel were completely obliterated and all of God's people were taken into exile. And so these are the Assyrians, God's enemy. The people hated the Assyrians because they were conquering and destroying. Jonah did not want to go and preach repentance to this people. In Jonah's mind, he was okay with this people being absolutely destroyed and wrecked by God. And so Jonah, in an act of disobedience, was like, I'm not going to go and preach to them. I'm not going to go and offer them a chance. They don't deserve it. I can't go and speak to them. And so he turns his back. He turns his back on God. He turns his back on this God who is merciful and kind and says no. And he runs the complete opposite way. And so those are the Assyrians, the enemy of the Israelite people. And God, and Jonah was like, I'm not going to go and preach grace and mercy to them. You see, it would be the equivalent of, just to give you some context, it would be the equivalent of Jonah being an American during World War II, Pearl Harbor just happening, and then Jonah getting on a plane, flying to the capital of Japan, inviting the people who made the decision to bomb Pearl Harbor, and pretty much inviting them to church and saying, hey, do you want to join my church and be a part of my family? That was the equivalent in Jonah's mind of what God was calling him to do, and he was not having it. But then you ask, why would God do that? Why would God try to rescue that people? Well, listen to the character of God. This is my second point that I've drawn from this text. The first one was Jonah's disobedience. The second one is God's grace. Listen to this. God's character is defined by many things in the Bible, but the most resounding statement that you constantly hear through the Old Testament is this. This is God's self-disclosure. It's his self-declaration. It's his self-definition. Listen to what God says about himself in the book of Exodus when he's revealing himself to Moses. He says this, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love to thousands of generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. You see, that is the character and the nature of this God who has called Jonah to go and preach this kind of message to that kind of people. You see, in this kind of Jonah turning his back, he didn't want anything. He's like, I would rather die. But then when he finds himself in the ocean, when he finds himself alone, rebelling against God, cold, under pressure, frustrated, angry, a range of emotions, I'm sure, in the water, he calls out to God. He calls out to God to rescue him. Does he deserve it? Absolutely not. But he calls out to God. He cries for help. And in a moment of God's grace and mercy and kindness, God moves towards Jonah and he provides for him a great fish that takes him and gives him life. You see, that is the character and nature of God. Think about it. God's character is so good and gracious and kind that he would go and try to bring the Nineveh people, the Assyrian people to himself. That same God is about to do the same thing to Jonah. Jonah in this moment doesn't deserve it like the people in Nineveh, and God is moving towards Jonah. He's offering Jonah grace and mercy. The God who is declaring that he's going on a rescue mission to Nineveh is now on a rescue mission to save Jonah. You see, that is the nature of God. God is about rescue. God is about salvation. God is about second chances and chances after that. God offers countless opportunities for us to repent and come back to him. You see, God desires relationship with his people. And so Jonah is saved. That's the third thing, is that Jonah received salvation. He was brought out of the pit, out of despair. His prayer came to the Lord. The Lord heard him and the Lord moved towards him. He didn't deserve it. He was rebellious and disobedient, but God moved towards him. You see, nothing Jonah could do could stop God from moving towards him, but also there's nothing Jonah could do that could earn God's rescue over his life. And so God moves towards him, provides this great fish, and Jonah is spat up on the dry land. There's three things that I want to show you from this text today. The first one is this: we have all disobeyed and rebelled against God. Romans 3:23 says, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, we deserve to be left in the ocean. We deserve to get thrown in the ocean and thrown overboard. We deserve to be left for dead. That's what you and I deserve. We have rebelled against God in every single way, in our thoughts, in our deeds, in our words, in our motives. You and I, we've all turned our back in some way towards the God of the universe, who's gracious and kind and merciful and loving, who desires relationship with us. And we, in some way, because of sin, we have turned our backs on God. We have all disobeyed like Jonah and rebelled. And the second thing that I see so in this text is that God's grace and God's mercy are for the disobedient and the rebellious. Listen, Watershed, no one is too far gone. Nobody is too far gone that the hand of the Lord can reach and save. Throughout the history of the church and throughout the history of the Bible are stories of people who have made mistakes, who have broken covenants, who have turned their back on God, who have lied and stolen and cheated and killed and taken out lives and brought havoc and pain, and God constantly moves towards them. God is about moving towards them, and here we see in this text, God is moving towards Nineveh to rescue and redeem, and God is moving towards Jonah to rescue and redeem. Again, Watershed, God's grace and mercy is for the disobedient and the rebellious. No one is too far gone. And the third thing is this: thanksgiving and gratitude should always be our response. You see, not in just an attitude of the heart like, wow, I'm thankful, but rather a life lived in response to what God has done. Because we do not deserve it, God came and rescued and redeemed, and we now get to experience life. Jonah was given a second chance. Nineveh was given a second chance. Watershed, myself included, we've all been given a second chance. Let's live lives of thanksgiving and gratitude to what the King of Glory has done for us. And so you're probably thinking right now, Tegan, that is so cool. Wow. What does Jesus and the cross have to do with any of that? I'm glad you asked. Here is what I will say. Think about it. Jonah was disobedient. It cost him his life. He was thrown overboard. Jonah was disobedient. His actions led him to be thrown overboard. But by God's grace, God provided a great fish and he was put on the shore. He was given a second chance. Here's the beauty of the gospel. Christ's obedience on our behalf, by God's grace, purchased our salvation. Think about it. Jonah's disobedience brought about salvation for him because of God's grace. In the same way, Christ's obedience on your behalf by God's grace purchased our salvation. Think about it. Again, Jonah was in the whale for 3 days and then he was raised to life. Jesus was in the grave 3 days and was raised to life. On our behalf, Jesus knows that you and I could never be fully, perfectly obedient, and we would always in some way rebel. So Jesus, on our behalf, became guilty for us. He became disobedient on the cross for us so that we could be given his perfect obedience. Think about it. When God sees you, if you are a believer in Christ, when God sees you, he sees perfect, holy, blameless, righteous, obedient. You see, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Though Jonah was disobedient, God gave him salvation, so Christ was obedient for us. And that purchased our salvation. I wrote this, I got all poetic and stuff, but I want you to hear this picture of salvation and what it looks like for you and I practically. Here it is. God, by his grace, has caused death and hell to spit you up upon the shores of salvation. Like Jonah, undeserving and rebellious though we are, with thanksgiving in our hearts, we get to, for all eternity, enjoy the ocean breeze of the goodness, kindness, and mercy of our Savior. So what is your response, Watershed, to this? Is your response thanksgiving and gratitude? Do you see the salvation is so sweet and beautiful? Though you do not deserve it, you've been given the free gift, like Jonah, who did not deserve it. And here's the last thing that I'll throw out to you. And I didn't really touch on this, but we will in the next couple of weeks. But I want you to start thinking about this. Jonah was very against the idea of his enemies being shown mercy and grace. As you listen to this, who are your enemies right now? And what would it look like to love them today with a gospel kind of love? We love you guys. Have a great time in your groups. Peace.